Well, the title of what I want to share with you tonight is, Who Do You Think You Are? Or, Who Defines You? You know, who do you think you are? You know, sometimes maybe you're challenged with that question. Somebody gets in your face, say, Who do you think you are? Because some event occurred and somebody's wondering what agenda do you have in light of this situation. But more and more in our society, we've become very sensitive. We succumb to what other people think about us, don't we? You know, what people might say about you, and we're easily hurt or easily moved. So we succumb to what other people say about us. And we all want to be loved, right? We all want to be accepted. And so what does really define you? What does define you? Is it the clothes you wear? Is it how you act? Is it your good looks? Your job? That's for Jeannie, yes. Is it your material possessions that defines you? Your bank account? Relationships that you have? Your friends? Your passions? Your beliefs? What others think of you? You know, you talk to some psychologist, and they'll say, well, you know what? You really kind of define yourself. You determine who you are. What you think you are, that's who you are. Get that a little bit. It's important to think highly of yourself, obviously. But there's someone else that for you and me as born-again ones that should be the one that defines who we really are. And that's our Heavenly Father, right?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father. What does He say about you? Let's go to 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We're going through the Scriptures. See what the Scriptures say. That's neat in this garage group. We use a book to kind of guide our conversation, certain chapters each time. But more and more, we're really focusing on what does the Scripture say.
Yeah.
That's what really, really counts. And what does the Scripture say about you that defines you? Well, 1 Peter 2, 9 says, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, ladies, haven't you always wanted to be a princess? Right? Huh? You're a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And King James says, a peculiar people. And I think we know this peculiar people, that means a people of acquisition, a bought people, a people that have been bought. And who paid the price to buy us to our Heavenly Father? Jesus Christ, amen. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Wow! Does that define us? It certainly does. Certainly does. So, I know sometimes we get hurt by what people say about us. Maybe at work somebody says something, or even a good friend or whatever. But you know what really counts is, what does the Scripture say? That's what really defines you and me. Let's go to 1 John. You're right there, Peter. Just turn over towards Revelation to the right. 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, But what kind of love did he bestow upon us? That we should be called the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it knew him not. So you're defined as a son of God. A son of God. Is that fit okay for you? Are you all right with that? I hope so. Oh my goodness. A son of God. I mean, there's some other curse words, son of, that come up, but no. We're sons of God. Okay. All right. Well, you guys, don't get too worldly on me now. Okay. All right. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You know, it's not going to be later when you get to heaven or whatever. But now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus Christ comes back for us, we shall be like him. We're going to be like Jesus Christ. When he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. We'll have that new spiritual body like the resurrected Jesus Christ. Woo! Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Okay, a few more verses here. 324. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Herewith we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. When you're born again, you have received the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
You have that Spirit in you. How do you know you got that Spirit in you?
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues is the great demonstrative way to prove that Spirit abides within. Yeah, yeah, thankful for that, huh? Chapter 4, verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Wow.
Amen.
Are you guys getting puffed up here a little bit? I hope so. Because this is what defines you and me, the scriptures. We're God's little kids, and we're greater than he that's in this crazy world, the adversary, the devil spirits. I don't care how wicked those spirits are, you're greater. Because you've got the Spirit of God in you. That's who we are. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Who lives in you? God Almighty. God Almighty. His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. You know, and again, manifestations, 9 manifestations. When we operate those manifestations, we couldn't do it unless we have the Spirit in us. And speaking in tongues is that great manifestation that really makes a difference, huh? When I first spoke in tongues many, many years ago, when I was 20 years old, it was the greatest day of my life. Mm-hmm. To know without a shadow of a doubt that I was his and he was mine.
Yeah.
And I had the hope of Christ's return at any minute. Can't beat it. I mean, God is so gracious and loving. Tremendous. Oh, my goodness. Look at, we're here in chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5. The last, well, not the last verse, but verse 20, 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what?
Eternal life.
Oh, my goodness. So fantastic. You know, we need to really recognize who we really are. We are what the Word of God says we are. And we will be what the Word of God says we will be, right? Yeah. What makes you who you are? Our Heavenly Father. Do we judge each other to determine who we are? Is that our job, to judge people? Don't do it. The world may do it, but we don't need to, because we know who we are. We know each other, who we are in Christ. You know, we may have problems. Things may come up. But that's why God gave us forgiveness, right? And we can move on. Move on because we see how big we are in Christ. Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians. My goodness. The Word of God is filled with all kinds of things that we are, that define us, that tell us who we are. We're just looking at a few of them here. So in Colossians chapter 2, Philippians, there we go. Chapter 2 in Philippians verse 9. It says here, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's Jesus Christ. So, what defines Jesus Christ? Well, the Scriptures does, and God says he's got all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10 says, "And you and I, are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You and I are complete in Christ. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. It says that in Colossians 1:27, doesn't it? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we are complete in him. Verse 11, "In whom also you are circumcised." Did you know that?
I know.
You are circumcised. There you go. That defines you. That's what the word says. "With circumcision made without hands." So figuratively speaking, right? Okay. Don't sweat there, guys. Okay. "In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." His did it for us. "Buried with him." We're buried with Jesus Christ in the baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. See, we fully identify with Jesus Christ and what he did to bring salvation to all mankind. And that's why we're buried with him. We rose with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," or made alive together with him, "having forgiven you some of your trespasses."
All
your trespasses. Wow. That's who you are. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Wow. Man, we are victors, aren't we? In so many wonderful ways.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, "Let no man therefore do what?
Judge you.
Judge you. Don't let anybody judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath day."
No.
Don't let it happen. Your life is not determined by the judgment of other people. It's determined by what God's Word says.
Amen.
Okay? Who you are. Wow. So we just sometimes need to take a stand in our life and recognize who we are and take a stand on that. Well, I don't want to get you too excited here, so we're gonna go to Romans 14. You can read the rest of Colossians. There's a lot more in there. But let's go to Romans 14 and look at a few things there. Romans 14:7. 14:7. "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You know, I know in our times, again, people are self-centered. It's all about me, myself, and I. No, no, this is not the godly lifestyle. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. No matter who, you know, as a believer, born again, either way, who are we belonging to?
The Lord.
The Lord, okay. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. Amen and amen. I love that. Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why would we want to do that in light of who we are in Christ and all that we have been defined to be in the scriptures here? My goodness, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Wow. And that judgment seat is the Bema, really. So this is where we'll receive rewards for the good things we do. All the junk we did is going to get burned up and won't have any consequence for us. But, yeah, don't judge. Because we've been judged, what? Righteous in Christ. You and I are righteous before our Heavenly Father. Well, I know, again, we could go on and on here, but let's go to Philippians, see what they have to say here. Philippians 3. We'll close here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, wait a minute. I'm in Colossians. There's so many good things in Colossians, but that's not where we want to go right now. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation or manner of lifestyle or manner of living is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, this physical body that gets sick and hurts and gives us a hard time. He's going to change that it may be fashioned like unto whose glorious body?
His.
Jesus Christ. Wow. According to the working whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself. We are citizens of heaven, really, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We belong to him. And that's what really, really defines us. Is what the scriptures say about us, okay? And that's what we want to remember. So what makes you you? The scriptures, our Heavenly
Father.
Yeah. And so we want to continue to confess who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We want to continue to confess the truth of what God says about us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want you to think about something here as we pass these words around. Please take one. And who am I? I want you to think about what we looked at in the scriptures. And I'm going to play a song. That's the words of the song. And listen and appreciate the greatness of your life before the Heavenly Father.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm catch me.
Thank you for calling us into your family. Thank you that we are yours, nobody else's. We belong fully and totally to you. You've made us righteous before you, Father, that we can come before you without any sense of guilt or condemnation. What a privilege it is to be your children, Father. And I thank you that we can walk and talk with you, that we can have great days ahead as we trust in you as our loving Heavenly Father and see you work mightily in our lives. So I pray for each and every person that's part of this fellowship that they can recognize the greatness of what you've called them to be. Mm-hmm. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.